Hello, hello, hello. What episode? I don't know what episode we're on now.
This is
lucky number seven on Easter Sunday, by the way. I think we're going to discuss a little bit about the importance of self-improvement, along with self-development. And I think you said you're going to have an article that's coming out soon that's going to address this too, right, Jay? Okay.
Yes. I'll be talking about, you know, self-development, self-improvement, the importance
of self-development. There was a quote you wanted to mention to the audience. What was that?
Yes, it's, you know, what started the thought process was the late Jim Rohn, who is, you know, a philosopher, business philosopher, but he always has some deep thoughts and deep quotes, and I have a lot of his books. But one of the things that when I woke up this morning, it just popped in my brain that, you know, he said, formal education will make you a living, but self-education will make you a fortune. And so that rung true to me. And I said, you know what? Self-improvement and self-development. So what separates the good from the great? You know, what's different between formal education and self-education? And so formal education will make you a living, but self-education will make you a fortune.
I was going to ask, you know, for someone that can't quite interpret what that quote actually meant, could you break it down? Can you go ahead and break it down for someone that might not comprehend what he's saying there?
There are people that spend $100,000, $200,000 to make $25 an hour. So formal education, does that prepare you to be rich or to be an entrepreneur, or does it prepare you to be a worker? You know, sometimes when you just really look at the math is not mathing. And so with self-education, it makes you a fortune. So those life lessons, those things that you learn that you didn't learn in school, are those the things that you lean on the most? Those are the really, really hard lessons. You know, when you get people, you know, you don't go through life. Mm-hmm. They say you grow through life, right? And so it's those hard things that you learn in your lifetime. So self-education can make you wealthy. And there's a reason why college and school, that financial education is really, really small. And so that's something that, you know, you have to educate yourself on. You know, I'm amazed that, you know, when I talked about in last podcast, you know, 70% of America is not prepared for retirement. Once again, do the math. There's very little financial education that's taught unless you go teach yourself or you learn it yourself. And so self-education prepares you for retirement.
They always told us that, you know, you got to go to school, you got to get a degree, you got to get that piece of paper. So why am I hearing something different now? They always told us that. That's what the American dream told us. You go to school, you get a good job. You know, why are we being sold that? And what is what you're saying? I mean, you've kind of broken down, it's a little different, but why weren't we told that?
Well, who's going to work? Right? So you need the workers, right? So, you know, if you don't go beyond what you're taught, you know, then you'll wind up being told what to do, being having to ask somebody for something. You know, this is the reason why I was always attracted to entrepreneurship or online businesses, because with online businesses, you don't have to ask anyone. You're automatically the CEO. You're the captain of your ship. You know, in the Air Force, you know, we used to say, you know, about your life, the bad news is time flies. The good news is you're the pilot. I mean, you get to fly the plane. You have to know that up front is that, you know, as I talked about last week, you know, when people really think about it, how long do you want to work? You know, do you want to retire longer than you work, or do you want to work longer than you retire? The earlier you figure that out, you know, if you want your retirement, you don't want to work till you're 70. If you live to 85, you don't want to work till you're 75 and then you have 10 years left.
No.
Right? You want as much of that time to be leisure time and lifetime and memory and wealth building and leaving something for somebody to know you were here and you made a difference. The longer you do that, you know, you can't do that.
So what advice would you have for someone who has retired, say they're 60, just retired, and they don't want to work for anybody anymore, but they want to find, they want more. I won't necessarily say find their purpose, because obviously we need more deeper of context to understand what you could give to them as far as tips. But someone that just says they want to do more, they want to self-improve, you know, they live their life, but they feel like there's some more that they can accomplish. What tips would you give to someone in that situation?
Well, you know, you're never too old to make a difference. Never. They say you don't become a success, you're attracted. And what that means is that when your light is shining, somebody will ask you, hey, why is your light shining? And people, you attract people into your light. There are things, you know, as the longer you're on this earth, you know, right. Some life lessons, right? And so it's the way you present it. And so there'll be people that present themselves to you, and that's how you make a difference in the world is, you know, by sharing your knowledge. And my pastor used to say, he said, you know, Jay, he said, sometimes be a blessing instead of needing a blessing. Right? If every time somebody walk up to you and say, pray for me, then you're not living right.
That's a good point.
It has to be the opposite. That's a good point. Right. You know, so sometimes just be a blessing, not need a blessing.
What advice would you have for someone who's probably in school right now and they came across this video? And they heard you say, you know, basically how the formal education, of course, is necessity, but self-education, self-improvement may be more important. What advice would you have for someone sitting in their class right now? They came across this and heard it. What would you give to them as far as tips?
Oh, I have to go deep in my rap closet, in my arsenal. I have to do like this.
Jay-Z.
So, you know, what Jay-Z said is he said in life, people emulate the end result, not the process. What that means is Kobe scores 81, right? Kobe scores 61. People emulate that, but they don't emulate. He worked his whole life to get through that. People want to be a rapper, but they don't want to understand all the details that go in it, but they'll wear the shoes and the headband and everything. They can emulate it. If you want to be successful in life, you know, people love to emulate the end result, but not the process. And so it's being a master of your craft. And so that's the reason, you know, I started this group is I tell people all the time, what separates me from a lot of people is I always say I'm relentless.
I believe it.
I study a lot. I study a lot. I read a lot. I have a library in my house. Not hundreds of books, thousands of books. And I've read them
every single book. You've read every single book in there.
Every one of them. I always say success leaves footprints. What that means is if somebody you find that you want to be mentored by, you know, and they left footprint. So let's say MLK. So I look back at MLK and say, well, who did he follow? Which was Dr. Benjamin Mays. Dr. Mays was president of Morehouse College. So when you look at his readings, you know, it basically, you know, you can see a lot of things that MLK said was Dr. Benjamin Mays. Benjamin Mays knew Gandhi.
Okay. It all
and so
together.
He went to India way back in the 1920s, right? And so when you look at success, I studied like people that, you know, motivation. And so when you look at motivation, you look at like the motivational speakers now. Well, when you go back like maybe 80-100 years, Norman Vincent Peale was really one of the fathers of motivation. Dale Carnegie, when you go back to that, all the way back to the 1899 was a guy named Orison Swett Marden who founded Success Magazine. Oh. You know, I went back, bought every single one of those magazines from 1899 all the way to 1927. I have them all in my.
Is it monthly or is it yearly editions, that they come out?
And I. It was monthly. Magazines? And then from there, there were lots of authors. So when you look at this, a lot of quotes, motivational quotes and stuff, I go back to all of those quotes. I could give you a dissertation on a lot of books, a lot of different things, but that's the level of detail you have to go to. And it's the same with the stock market. So when I decided to do this, that's what I do now. Right. I study that stock market like Like my life depends on it. So when I'm showing people things, I try to simplify it. And so that's one of the details I learned in the military is making hard things simple. And so if I can just share that knowledge, but people have to be ready to receive it. And so that's why I don't go seeking people. I say people will self-select. When you encounter me, you will get a first class education, but that's the thing I do. I mean, I enjoy the reading, the books and all of those things because you can never learn enough. And, you know, there's always a lot of smart people, but I'm enough to know what I'm talking about when it comes to certain things. And so if I think I'm, you know, not up to par, I'll make sure that I do my part. So those are the things that people don't see is that I'm very disciplined and I will, you know, I go to that level of detail to read a lot of books and to be well read. And that's why I said self-education. I knew that early in my 20s and it has since paid me back a million times.
I think right now this is probably the best time for someone to get that type of advice. Because if I think of what a college student at this moment is consuming, obviously schoolwork, right? So it seems like your advice would be, obviously you can stay in school and pursue the career that you have planned or whatever you've decided to do, which is fine. But after that, I think about what they may do. Of course, they may study everything within that field to obviously graduate, but they may consume TikTok. They may consume social media, which is not a bad thing. We all need that. But I think what you're telling us is we probably need to read more to keep our brain operating, keep it moving. And I say we, I'm not in school anymore, but they probably need to do that because like you said, it just keeps that momentum. It keeps it going to where they're fully prepared for any situation. It's self-taught, it's self-education. I think right now we have social media, we have TikTok. It's so quick that we want to access everything so fast. Just give me the summary. You know, even in school, we found ways to use Spark Notes. We would cheat. We'd use Spark Notes and give me the summary. Let me get to summarize all this. I don't have to read all this. And ultimately, it's probably very detrimental to us, our own personal development, to not do so. So would you say that would be the main advice you would provide to someone in that situation, even younger, is to read?
Yeah. And this is what you described, the Spark Notes, the soundbite. That's what Jay-Z talked about. People, mm-hmm. they emulate the end result, not the process. The growth is in the process. And so the learning and, you know, and I would say even for young people, even if you don't read, you know, even Michael Jackson, you know, what made him great mm-hmm. is he studied the masters. He said that. This is why he knew Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers. He went back and watched all the black and white videos of all the great dancers, all the great entertainers. He knew everything about them, every shred of it. And so when Michael Jackson hit the stage, he was an accumulation of a wealth of entertainers, and he was the ultimate entertainer. You know, Michael, you know, he preceded himself. So this is, you know, the thing that makes people great. Mm-hmm. Look at Taylor Swift. You know, every time I hear about Taylor Swift, it reminds me like what Mike Tyson said. Mike Tyson said, people don't hate on people in
no,
fifth place.
No, they don't. Of course not. They're not threatened by you. You don't hate on somebody you're not threatened right. by. No.
They're not threatened by. So Taylor Swift not is on all. Top. She's a master of her craft. And how hard is it to create every single album and every album is number one? Who can do that? And wait a minute. And she writes all her own songs.
Her music.
All of it. Like 100% of it. How hard is it to do that? And if people could do that, they would have done it already.
Everybody would do it. Everybody.
Right. But, you know, so when in the music industry, you have to respect that she's mm-hmm. she's pulling a Kobe. She's coming out with Mamba mentality.
Yeah.
Every single album is number one. Every song. And if it wasn't, she'd be crucified.
Oh, of course. When you get to that point, when you get to the point when you've gone number one and now that's your how they view you respectfully.
Yeah, so if you have don't, album, people start to question. Off.
They start to question you. I think me being someone who is a creative, it's admirable to anybody that's able to create something from scratch. Their own work, their own writing, and it to be perceived well. Because ultimately you don't do it for the intent for it to be perceived well. You're doing it because it's your art. When you're creative, that's what you're doing. For it to go number one, I mean, you obviously have a formula that works perfectly in your favor, and you know, people should continue to do it, keep pushing it. So of course we're talking about, you know, being in fifth place. Nobody hates fifth place, and that's just true. But you know why nobody hates fifth place? Nobody thinks about fifth place. You know, it's always trying to go for whoever's number one. And it's ironic because we spoke of music. Right now, I'm not in it, but I'm excited because hip hop is kind of, it's coming back. The competitive part of it. I think every time Kendrick Lamar does a verse, I don't know if you heard about this lately, but every time he does a verse, when he goes on a little hiatus or something, he comes back and it's like a bomb. And he basically called out the two peers that are always mentioned with him. Yeah, so you got, you know, Drake, the Taylor Swift of rap is Drake. So you have Drake, who's going to go number one every time. And I think J. Cole and Kendrick at this point in their careers go number one, but not to the extent where Billboard, you're the number one single, number one whatever. They're not doing that, right? That's what Drake does. And he raps about Michael Jackson. He was one away from Michael Jackson, so next time he does it, he's going to be tied with Michael Jackson or whatever. And then J. Cole, who's kind of like been, in my opinion, my humble opinion, was kind of third, right? They call it the big three. He was third to me. I didn't think he was as brash or as confident as the others were until as of late. And so those two did a song together. Mm. And they're trying to, you know, J. Cole says, oh, it's the big three. But then he kind of like pushes Kendrick out of it a little bit. It's like, oh, me and Drake, you know, now he's saying me and Drake, me and Drake, me and Drake. So now last week, Future had an album, who's having some little riff with Drake as well. Metro, who produced the album, had some riff with them as well. They got Kendrick Lamar on the verse, and he decided to say there is no big three. It's just me. So now it's in a situation where now everyone's like, well, hold on, you know, and now it's going to be competitive again. And so I love stuff like that. Like, I love music. So to hear, yeah, nobody thinks about fifth place. Absolutely. You know why that song is number one right now in the country? And it's going to be Kendrick's third and Future's third and Metro's one. It's because somebody was competing for the top spot. Nobody is arguing with whoever's in fifth. He's not saying anything about fifth. He said he's first. So that statement connected there, because that's what's been trending the last week as far as music. Beyonce as well. I mean, we talk about someone going number one, talk about someone challenging herself, creating something different. Yeah, no, the Taylor Swift, Beyonce's, those are in a whole other stratosphere when it comes to creativity.
Yeah, so studying the master, what separates the good from the great is the discipline and actually worrying about, you know, nobody's going to care about you more than you when it comes down to it. Taking responsibility for yourself, you know, those are the things that anybody should understand. And that's why, you know, time to me is more than money. And that's why I always say, you know, I tell people, don't major in minor things, you know, major in major things, right? And I always say, I'm always observing with little things. Little things lead to big things. And so I always say, you know, the things that are easy to do are also easy not to do, right? It's easy to read a book, but it's also easy to play PlayStation.
True.
Right? And so those little things make a big difference over the course of time. Here's something that I thought about this morning, right? And it's managing yourself, which is self-improvement. A lot of people say they want to be rich, or they want to be wealthy, or they want to be a lot of things. But, and this is why I thought about Jay-Z, the process. The quote is, it's not really a quote, but what it says is, it says, whatever you mismanage, you lose it. And that's why management is so important in the process. So, you know, this is Easter Sunday. And what that means is, so whatever, if you mismanage something, you lose it, right? And so, so God will never give you what you pray for. He'll only give you what you can manage. And so people pray for a new house, but the apartment is not even up to par.
Right.
Right. So he's only going to give you what you can manage. So if you've mismanaged your body, you lose it. If you mismanage your marriage, you lose it. If you mismanage your job, you lose it. If you mismanage your children, if you mismanage your money, it goes away. So you have to learn how to manage yourself, and that prevents a crisis, and that's how you get self-discipline.
Yeah.
This is why self-development is important. People argue about they major and minor things, and you don't have to react to everything. So, you know, I live in Florida, and people were reacting to politics, you know, when it goes to the woke mob and, oh, we're going to eliminate Black history and all of this stuff in the schools. Well, the governor can't stop me from going to Amazon.
True.
Buying my own book. I'll educate myself. I don't need him to tell me. Right. So why would I even respond or argue to that?
That's a good point.
Yeah, it makes no sense. And so when people, you know, they want you to react to those kind of things. But when you ignore them and you go about your business, then they get nervous.
That's funny you say that, because, yeah, they want you to continue to have dialect about it, because it doesn't make you actually go do the action of going. Because, yeah, if your kids aren't being educated on it, go get those same books. They're still there. You can order them. They're
not educate them yourself, right?
Go get educate them yourself. Educate your kids. And that makes us probably more dangerous than anything, because they are thinking, they're under the impression we're not doing that. So,
So you educate them yourself to your level of detail.
Yeah, true.
I would educate my kids more than the teacher would, because my expectation would be 10 times higher.
The chapter, we wouldn't go over that chapter for just a week. This is going to be a development for their entire life. So, because I mean, in my opinion, my generation, we millennials, we joke about it a lot. When things keep happening, we always say, well, that's going into history books, because it's just the things that have happened in our lifetime from 1990 to whatever. It's always going to be adding in. And I don't think every single school book is getting stuff even sometimes past 2013. I graduated high school in 2013. If I go to high school right now or middle school, they might not have some stuff in there that should probably be in there. But yeah, no, I totally understand that point of view, that just teach them yourself. Nobody should be able to limit you from giving that information.
There is no limit. When it comes down to financial education, this is one of the last things that a lot of people need to conquer and need to really put some focus on, because you want to have a good life for yourself and for your family. And in this environment, you know, 50 years ago, the days of working for one company, getting a gold watch and having a retirement and then living on a pension is over. Mm-hmm. So now, you know, most people don't work for one company for 50 years and then they give them a big going away and you're there for a reason, you know, and now there is no pensions per se anymore. There's 401ks. You have to put in it. You have to match it. They'll match it if you match it, right? So this reminds me of, you know, I was talking to a friend today. I said I was going to talk about self-development. And I said, you know, I said I have a friend who is, I call him the mad professor. He has the wild hair like Cornel West, and he's a professor at Boston University right now. His hair is like, oh man, yeah, smart cat. So he's like in his 70s now. He's always had that wild hairstyle.
Like Don King?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. He was a product of the 60s, and you know, he taught at John Hopkins, you know, when he was 20, 21.
He taught there?
Taught there at 20. He's from New Orleans, and Sharp Cat, his name is Arturo Pfister. And so Arturo, you know, I was with him in New Orleans, and he was teaching a class, and they were cutting up in the class. It was at the University of New Orleans. And this was before Hurricane Katrina, but that's what got him to into Boston now, was after Hurricane Katrina he moved. But during the class, I was sitting in there, and we were going to go hang out after his class. And so the class wasn't paying attention or anything, and he drew three lines on the board, and everybody was just looking at him. And he goes, hey, you know, this is not high school. This is college. You're paying for this. And he said, there's three lines on the board, and those three lines can be an A or an F. It just depends on what you want to do with it, how you're going to get there. And so that sparked my brain to really put some thought into it. in school, everybody knows the grading system. A, B, C, D, F, right? Why is there no E in it?
And the E, effort.
Yeah, effort uh-huh. based on every individual. Based on everybody's effort, that's where their grade is going to come out on that curve. You know, it's the same with life. Same with self-development. So the effort everyone makes is where they're going to end up in life. You know, you're going to get an A in life or you're going to get F in life. You're going to get an A in finance, you're going to get an F in finance. And it will show up in the result on your effort.
Well, where's the best place they can get this information to make sure they don't get an F in the game we call life? What are you going to put on LinkedIn? I know those are some of your sources. You're going to go ahead.
Yeah, hit me up on LinkedIn. That's why I created the Wealth Builders Mastermind group, because it's a like-minded individuals learning how to be wealthy. But it's mindset as well. You have to, you know, you have to be prepared to be rich. You have to learn how to be rich. You know, you have to deserve how to be rich, right? You have to learn how to attract money. It's the principle of it. You know, I always say I'm the poorest person in my group for a reason, because if you want to be a millionaire, you hang around millionaires. So I have a lot of friends that are very, very wealthy. And so it's, they learn from me and I learn from them. But that's how you get better, is you have people that are where you want to be. And they show you, and then you show them a few things about life too. So that's how it works. And so in this group, it's not only that you learn about finances, or you learn about the stock market. You know, I'm going beyond that because I want everyone to be able to learn it like I know it, and to be able to change their family's lives, kids, you know, grandkids, all of those things. And so my goal is an army of 10,000 knowledgeable, well-oiled machine professionals about the stock market, because that's one of the things that is missing. You know, one of the missing links is, you know, that financial piece. And, you know, to be able to understand it will really, you know, it creates generational wealth, rather. And that's really the ultimate goal, is to leave. If you know something, you know, share it, and, you know, leave the world better than you found it. So that's my whole spiel. But once again, it's self-selection, right? You know, you have to want to do it.
Nobody's going to be forced to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't go around chasing people. You know, everybody has a free country, right?
So yeah. Well, that's all the questions I have. Like he stated, he'll have a link. He has a LinkedIn as well, but he'll be posting an article that will address a lot of this stuff. But definitely join the group. You'll get these nuggets weekly, and then check out our podcast episode next week.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate it, Roger. And like I said, I love the hair. It's a
Thank you.
I'm gonna go buy me a wig now.
A wig. I'm gonna let it breathe for a little bit, just a little bit. I haven't done anything to it. I'm gonna let it breathe. I gotta wash it. I'll let it breathe, and then I'll probably do twist or plait.
That's what's up.
All right, man. We can start. All right. Recording.